Item 521, accept the Build Portland 2019 annual update presentation and commend the multi-bureau partnership for advancing the Phase 1 projects in a timely and fiscally responsible manner.
Colleagues, in the face of declining federal and state financial support, many cities across the nation face the challenge of crumbling infrastructure and deferred maintenance. When faced with more needs than there are resources, it's often more urgent short-term needs like emergency repairs that are funded rather than longer-term maintenance. The risks of intergenerational inequities as this maintenance is pushed out becomes ever larger. Portland is one of the cities facing this challenge with a $310 million and growing infrastructure maintenance gap. The 2014 Citywide Funding Options Report received by Council outlined a suite of options for closing the major maintenance and asset replacement funding gap and highlighted that without substantial investment of resources to address this issue, the city risks higher costs and lower levels of service in the future. In Portland, there's also a challenge of varying sources of funds available for different types of infrastructure. Our water and sewer systems, for example, are funded through rates, while parks, transportation, and our other civic buildings are funded through the general fund, local bonds, or taxes. For those boroughs that are reliant on the general fund, inconsistent funding can mean the potential inability to maintain assets over the long term. While we've made notable progress in identifying resources such as the Parks Replacement Bond, the Capital Set-Aside Program, the gas tax revenue, it most certainly is not enough to fill the gap. In 2017, we initiated a bold new initiative, Build Portland, to fund infrastructure renovations and repairs. With Build Portland, we expect to spend $600 million over the next 20 years for investments improving roads, bridges, parks, and buildings that the community uses every day. Carmen Merlo and Geraldine Moyle from OMF are here today to give the 2019 annual update on Build Portland and the progress the city's made on the first Build Portland projects that were initiated last year. Good morning. Thanks
Good
for
morning.
Being here.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Commissioners, I'm Carmen Merlo, the Deputy Chief Administrative Officer. With me is Geraldine Moyle, the Build Portland Program Manager. I also want to acknowledge several asset managers in the room, including Brian Doran from Travel Portland, who is on our Build Portland Community Advisory Committee. We're here today to give you the 2019 Build Portland Annual Report. As Mayor Wheeler mentioned, the city owns and manages over $35.9 billion in assets. These assets include streets, parks, water, sewer, stormwater systems, and civic buildings owned, managed, operated, and maintained by the city. Citywide asset management, maintenance is estimated to have at least a $310 million annual funding gap that is growing each year as costs increase and conditions deteriorate. Access to funding is challenging depending on the type of funds, the fund requirements, and the number of assets in need of maintenance and repair. The first phase of Build Portland was approved in March 2018 with a commitment to initial program investment of $50 million. Seven projects were selected that maximize the city's return on investment, minimize risk, and consider equity in the priorities of the Portland plan. The overall goal of investing at least $600 million over the next 20 years is expected to roll out in subsequent phases with the intention of using expected returning revenue from expiring urban renewal districts to fund this work. Council will be asked to approve the funding and projects in each phase, determining the highest and best use at that time for the returning revenue and general fund debt capacity. We have great news to share with you today, so I'm going to turn it over to Geraldine Moyle, the Build Portland Program Manager, to provide an update on the program and the Phase 1 project progress.
Hello. So as part of the Build Portland 2019 annual report, we will give you a recap of how Build Portland came to be, an overview of what's occurred over the last year since the program was initiated. We'll do a Phase 1 project update, and then we'll give you an overview of the program milestones for the next fiscal year. So as both the Mayor and Carmen covered as well, in fiscal year 17-18, Build Portland was established. So there was a council session in August of 2017 that set the vision for Build Portland. In October of 2017, the Build Portland Advisory Committee was formed and charged with developing criteria to prioritize projects for Phase 1 and to create a funding plan. At that time, the Build Portland team was also directed to provide council with an annual update on Build Portland, and that's why we are here today. The first phase of projects, which includes seven projects completed between 2018 and 2024, were approved by council in March 2018. And at that same time, the initial program cost of $50 million was approved. The general fund debt to finance this $50 million was approved in April of 2018. Over the 18-19 fiscal year, the Build Portland program and Phase 1 projects have been initiated. With the funding approved, the seven Phase 1 projects were initiated in July. Build Portland is a multi-bureau partnership with the Chief Administrative Office, the Budget Office, and the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services, all supporting the infrastructure bureaus who are implementing the projects. The Phase 1 projects have advanced over the first year, moving from initiation into design and development phases, and the Advisory Committee has been informed with quarterly updates on the status of these projects. The first seven projects focus on transportation and parks and recreation improvements, and we'll go into more detail on each project, but as an overview, the projects are dispersed throughout the city. There are five location-specific projects, four transportation projects, and one parks project. And there are two other transportation projects that are citywide and ongoing. The project team is pleased to be able to inform council that all projects are on track to meet the 2020 milestones. And these are the milestones the bureaus indicated the projects would meet 2 years from the time Build Portland funding was awarded. So now we'll do a brief overview of each of the seven projects. The Outer Stark Corridor Improvement Project is using Build Portland dollars to upgrade paving and signals on Southeast Stark Street from Southeast 108th to Southeast 162nd Avenue. The project also provides enhanced pedestrian crossings and safety improvements in this corridor, and the project is expected to start construction in late 2020. The 42nd Avenue Bridge and Corridor Improvement Project is using Build Portland dollars to replace the bridge structure and upgrade paving. The project also provides sidewalk, pedestrian crossings, and bikeway improvements. That project is expected to start construction in early 2021. The Lentz Town Center Improvements Project is using Build Portland dollars to upgrade paving along the Foster Road Woodstock Boulevard couplet. The project also provides sidewalk, pedestrian crossing, and bikeway improvements, and it's expected to start construction in June 2020. The North Lombard Main Street project is using the Build Portland dollars for pavement reconstruction on Lombard Street from North St. Louis to North Richmond Avenue. The project also includes crossing treatments, transit pad improvements, and curb extensions, and this project is expected to start construction in late 2020. The next two projects are citywide, with locations throughout the city, and the work is being completed on a continuous cycle of design and construction. The ADA-compliant corner ramp improvement project is using Build Portland dollars to complete ADA-compliant corner ramp improvements over the next 7 years. The ramps are prioritized by first addressing ramps requested by persons with disabilities, and then by risk, equity, and other measures such as access to transit. The Traffic Signal System Improvement Project is using Build Portland dollars for signal reconstruction and rapid flashing beacons across the city. And traffic signal improvements are prioritized by safety, equity, and asset condition. The last of the seven projects is the Mount Scott Community Center Rehabilitation. While still in pre-development, this project anticipates Build Portland dollars going towards the rehabilitation of the facility, which could include a number of the items shown on the slide. The project, once the scope is finalized, expects to start construction in summer 2022. The Phase 1 funding approach includes balancing when general fund is needed to fund debt service with the project progress to ensure the dollars are spent and to minimize the fees associated with taking on this debt. The limited tax revenue bonds were authorized last April, and based on the Phase 1 project spend projection, the Build Portland Phase 1 funding approach is to, one, issue a line of credit in fiscal year 1920 as the Phase 1 projects ramp up from pre-development and design into construction. We would replace that line of credit with the bond in late 2021-22 when the projects are projected to, one, need a significant amount of Build Portland dollars, and two, are well underway and committed to reach completion. This manages the city's risk by delaying taking on debt as long as possible and minimizing the fees and debt service. This also aligns with the expected timeline for returning revenue, some of which is intended to fund the debt service on the bond, as well as potentially fund future phases of Build Portland.
So could I just stop you there?
Yeah.
Because I think this is incredibly wonderful that Mayor Wheeler had this thought to take money that's coming back from tax increment financing districts and dedicate some of it, borrowing this money so that then we can get ahead of a little, not going to get ahead, but we're going to really make a dent in these projects. This is brilliant. And I've worked with three mayors now, and you're the only one who's actually been able to figure out a way to address the infrastructure gap. Previously, we've said, oh, it's a horrible gap and it's getting bigger, and isn't that terrible? And you came up with a way to this, it's not going to keep getting worse. So I just want to really applaud that and explain that's why we're borrowing the money, because we're getting the money coming back from the tax increment financing districts, that are otherwise known as urban renewal areas. So when people said, well, we've got all these property taxes because we've taken care of some formerly blighted areas in some cases, what's the good of that? This is the good of that.
Thank you.
And I would have said that right up front if I was you, or we went to bury your lead there.
Sorry, do go on. All right, no worries.
No, so, please, if you have more to add, by all means.
This is a rare moment for the mayor.
I don't even know how to handle it. Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate
You're
that.
Welcome. Where were we? So, as stated earlier, the Build Portland program is a multi-bureau partnership with program duties essentially split up as follows. The Chief Administrative Office leads the Build Portland Program Administration, which includes a number of items we'll discuss shortly. The City Budget Office leads the financial forecasting in regards to the program dollars available and the long-term projections for when returning revenue will be available for consideration for the next phase of projects. The Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services, and more specifically debt management, determines how to finance the Build Portland program, and in particular how to manage the risk of Phase 1, which was initiated in anticipation of, but in advance of, that returning revenue. And the infrastructure bureaus are responsible for the delivery of the project selection for Build Portland funding. So just as each Phase 1 project has project scope and costs, Build Portland as a program has administrative scope and costs. These include communication and outreach. So consider this an approach to community outreach and education, including why there's a maintenance gap, the goals and intentions of the Build Portland program and project progress. The coordination of the program across the multi-bureau partnership, which would include project progress tracking, any expected Build Portland collateral that might come out of the communication and outreach development that would need to be coordinated with project staff. So this could include signage at construction sites or groundbreaking events. And then aligning the project progress with the availability of funds and the evaluation and determination of when to initiate Phase 2. And with that initiation of Phase 2, the development of a long-term funding approach to those next phases of projects. And so finally, as we're here at the end of fiscal year 18-19, here is our work plan for fiscal year 19-20. So the Phase 1 projects will advance, and to highlight the first of the location-specific projects, which is expected to be the Lentz Town Center project, should start construction in late spring 2020. Debt management will also issue the line of credit later this fiscal year to fund those project expenditures. The team will initiate the communication and outreach approach with the selection of a consultant team to provide professional services. The citywide program administration and the multi-bureau partnership will continue. We expect the advisory committee to meet for quarterly program updates, and we will be back before you next spring in 2020 to provide the next annual update on the Build Portland program. And so that is the end.
Very good. Colleagues, any questions?
So, Mayor,
Commissioner Fish.
First of all, I want to echo what Commissioner Fritz said in terms of an innovative way of closing the gap. And I think you began the hearing by saying we have a $310 million annual funding gap.
Correct.
So I have two thoughts for next steps. One is that I am regularly reminded in communications I get from the public that there's a lot of confusion when it comes to our budgets about the difference between operating dollars and capital dollars and restricted dollars versus unrestricted dollars. And frankly, it takes a long time in this building to get to a point where you understand that with your own bureaus. And so to expect the public to have an understanding of what we call the color of money and what can and can't be used for things is asking a lot. And then we use these numbers interchangeably, so we use the all-in number, including capital dollars, and sometimes we use the operating dollars. And so I have found there's a healthy amount of confusion in terms of bureaus and what we budget for. That's number one. Number two is I think we could do a much better job at budget time focusing in on capital budgets and how we plan by bureau to close the gap. So for example, as you noted earlier, the public utilities are in a unique situation because they have dedicated revenue. And they have a revenue stream that allows them to spend a lot of capital dollars to maintain the system. That's not true of parks, housing, or PBOT, for example. And so, Mayor, one of the things I'm going to follow up with you to sort of test drive is I think we should tweak our conversation about capital spending during the budget season so that we not only talk about the deficit in each bureau, but we also talk about all the strategies we're employing by bureau to close that gap. And some are different. I mean, PBOT goes out for bonds, PBOT goes out for gas tax increases. PBOT, according to the chart you gave us, gets the lion's share of the Build Portland money, and on and on and on. Well, I think a pie chart that showed how we're getting at that would be important. I guess what I'm saying is, I don't think we should look at Build Portland anymore as a separate initiative.
Right.
I think what we should do is tie it all together with all the capital spending and tell the story about how we're doing in meeting that deficit.
That's great.
Because that's what people are going to understand. They're not going to understand five or six one-offs. And again, the utilities are different because they have dedicated funding. And we wish that every bureau was funded in a way that allowed for such predictable decision-making. So I hope we try that and have a deeper dive in the budget season as to how, by bureau, we're going to tackle this capital spending deficit.
That's a great suggestion, Commissioner.
And then integrate all the different funding sources so that people get a sense in a pie chart what we're doing. But I appreciate the presentation.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Is there any public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have two people signed up.
Very good.
With Maggie and Jean Connett.
Whoever wants to go ahead.
Maggie, why don't you start,
okay,
please?
Okay. I just want to say Portlanders can't understand budgets.
Our pie charts.
That's not actually not what I said. I said
charts?
That there's, just to be clear what I said, in the communication that I've been getting from a lot of people, there's confusion about the difference between operating dollars and capital dollars.
Are they from
dollars that are restricted and unrestricted? And I don't think we do a good enough job explaining the difference. That was my point. It has nothing to do with the public. It has to do with our ability to communicate those differences.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll buy that. Okay. All right. I just want to say, just like before, when you do infrastructure for like bicycle lanes and pedestrians, you can build a mid-size city for the amount of money you do for a four-lane freeway. So it's not the amount of money you need for infrastructure, it's how you spend it and what kind of infrastructure you're going to do, because we want to move to a greener way of life, a more human sense of proportion. Everybody that I've talked to, they want to just shut down the whole downtown area and turn it into a pedestrian and bicycle mall, because that's going to bring people in to actually buy stuff and support the economy, because nobody who drives around in a car stops and buys anything or stops in a store to eat. You know, it's the people who walk around and bicycle around and scooter around that buy things. So, and ride public transportation to the grocery store. They buy things. So, you know, people in cars, they go somewhere else because they've got a car and a full tank of gas. You know, let's move on more pedestrian, more bicycle, more scooter, you know, areas. You know, I happen to think that we have all the laws that we need on hand that go all the way back to, you know, 16th century marine highway laws for, you know, covering all the laws for scooters and stuff and little neighborhood electric vehicles. So if you're going to work on infrastructure, go green. And, you know, don't be like Tesla. Do you know what Tesla does? He lectures his employees, build more, sell more, so that he can fly around in his fuel-based private jet and build fuel-based rockets. Who needs that? You know, buy from somebody who actually drives their own electric vehicle. So buy from people who are actually using their own stuff, please.
Thank you. Good morning.
You want to go? Okay. Right. I would like to beg the council's slight indulgence. That guy that came up here today, and he was talking about infrastructure, and it almost made me cry, because I remember back, I don't remember the last time martial law was called in St. John's, Oregon, but I can tell you why. There were two kids crossing the street trying to go to school, and they got hit by this big diesel truck because we had this S-curve in St. John's, and we just couldn't get the truckers to slow down for the kids. And two people died. That was the day we closed down St. John's and martial law came. That's the third time in my lifetime I've seen that. The whole reason why? It's because you guys, with all your infrastructure and all your stuff, and even though he said he lives right there, he sees the fatalities. Yeah, I see the faces of those two 10-year-old kids that died on their way to school, too. That was the beginning of the problem between Portland and St. John's, and this is how it started. Because people were dying, and you guys don't have enough infrastructure for it. I don't think any of you are actually for Portland and for Portlanders, and now I understand when I'm out there on the street and I'm talking, communicating with people who actually, the last little bit that actually are from Portland, because 90% of it isn't anymore, then I'm with her. I think we should all just quit all this, because everybody in St. John's own their own business. Hell, we've run books for years. We understand shit. We don't need no pie charts. We don't need none of that. We are smart, educated people. Do you realize how many educational facilities there are right here in Portland? We're not dumb people, man. And when I watch people like you do stuff like this, and I hear the word fatality again, why? Why? Why is this what you guys think of Portland and Portlanders? You don't even take human life seriously.
Thank you.
Is there any further public testimony on this item, Carla?
All who signed up.
Very good. This is a resolution. Please call the roll. Thank you.
Fish.
Carmen et al., thank you for the presentation. And again, I look forward to the budget process of finding a way to integrate all of our capital spending in a way that I think is clearer and helps us make better decisions going forward about priorities. So, aye.
U Daily.
I'll wait for her to exit. Also born and raised in Portland, but frankly think that's irrelevant when people come to give testimony. So Build Portland helps us accomplish our infrastructure priorities and deliver transformative projects in historically underserved areas, responding to both maintenance and safety needs. Perhaps one of the earlier commenters didn't notice that 6 of the 7 projects are heavily focused on improving pedestrian and or bicycle infrastructure as well as accessibility. Maggie, you can sit down.
Maggie?
Yeah, go back to...
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for your testimony.
We're taking a vote. You need to go return to your seat.
She's staff.
City
She's
staff.
Center. She's city staff.
I want to thank the mayor for prioritizing this investment in our infrastructure, and thanks to Tom Reinhart and OMF and Carmen for developing and delivering this program. It's going to make a significant dent in the $3.2 billion of deferred maintenance that PBOT has and I've inherited as the transportation commissioner. And since we don't get thanked for things that... How do I put this? I want to join the chorus of appreciation to the mayor for coming up with this plan, because it's extraordinary looking back how we haven't taken care of our infrastructure. And I don't think that commissioners, councils, or community members are going to look back and thank us for terrible things not happening, but we are really kind of doing hard, necessary work to serve the future of Portland and chipping away at that $3.2 billion. So I also want to thank PBOT staff for their leadership in project identification and development, in particular Director Chris Warner, Jeremy Patton, Emily Tritch, Zeph Wagner, and Shoshana Cohen. And thanks especially to PBOT's community advisors, Momoko Sanders and Tony Lamb, to PBOT's Budget Advisory Committee, modal committees, and the various other stakeholders that participated in this process. I vote aye.
So under Mayor Sam Adams, we were going through the recession and we managed to get through it, partly because of the stimulus package from President Obama and doing a lot of building then that helped. The only cranes in the air at that point were public projects. And then under Mayor Hales, we were recovering from the recession and we didn't have additional resources. Mayor Wheeler saw that we were going to have additional resources as the urban renewal areas, the tax increment financing districts, ended. And instead of saying, oh good, let's start lots of new shiny projects, he said, let's borrow against that expected revenue so that we can get to these projects before they become even more expensive. And that's brilliant in many different ways. One in particular is that then paying back the debt is looking forward so that the future generations who will be benefiting on them, they will also be paying. It's good because it's paying with new money that's coming back into the system that wasn't there before. So nobody's going to be getting taxed more because of this program. And it's actually addressing the problem that we've had for decades, which is that because of Measure 5 and 47 and 50, we're not able to raise taxes in a way that overly burdens property owners. We don't have a sales tax, and so we've been limited in the amount of things that we have to do, given that a lot of the city's money goes into personnel and people doing the jobs that we do. So I think this is an extraordinary program that we should be celebrating and shouting from the rooftops that it's succeeding. And thank you for bringing the annual report. I think it's really important to show that it's the Mount Scott roof and the other transportation projects that Commissioner Udoley just mentioned that are desperately in need, and that you are looking at which ones to do first with an equity lens. So I like everything about this program. Aye.
Wheeler?
Thank you. Excellent report, excellent update, and I want to thank all of the Bureau directors who are very actively engaged in this. This is truly a citywide effort, and a lot of people are putting a lot of time, energy, and effort into making sure that this works. And I think we're all keenly aware that there's a lot of eyeballs on it as well. So good work, good report. I vote aye. The resolution's adopted. Thank you very much. Next